I'm involved at the King's College, and you know, you guys know John, so he has this program where you 10-minute messages for up-and-coming preachers, teachers, and people who just like the pulpit. And I also have a class that I'm doing that requires me to do volunteer time, so those two things kind of came together in my reason for being here. So I just want to pray real quick. Father God, thank you that we're all able to make it here safely, Lord. Thank you that you have brought us here with a purpose, Lord, to hear your word and to be touched by you. And Lord, that's what we desire right now, Lord. More than my getting up here and looking smart or anything like that, Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me, Lord, and that your words would be spoken, because those are the only things that have power, Lord. My words mean nothing. So Lord, I just pray that your word would be spoken over these people today, that you would speak to each one individually and personally, Lord, that they would be able to take something home with them, and it wouldn't just be some guy up here just blabbing on about something that doesn't mean anything to them. So I just thank you, Lord, that you make the message personal. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as Kat mentioned, she already kind of preached some of my message. We're talking about healing. John asked me to talk about healing and restoration, and he gave me 10 minutes to do it. Sometimes I wonder. And it's interesting, because Mike was praying, and he prayed for those who were homesick because they weren't able to come here, and it's amazing how much sickness just kind of influences our lives. And, you know, it could just be a little cough and a little head cold or a migraine, and of course, at the time, it never seems little, no matter what it is. Migraine is always the most traumatizing thing in the world. But sickness and suffering inhibit our ability to worship and our ability to come to God. As all of us know, like I said, from being home, staying home sick, I don't feel good. I'm sick outright. And our desire to come to the house of God and our desire to be among the people is just out the window. So we stay home in bed. And this is where the time to rejoice comes in, because Jesus did a phenomenal work when he came. Looking at the Old Testament in Leviticus, you find a bunch of different standards for cleanliness and uncleanliness. And if you were unclean in any way, shape, or form, then you weren't allowed to come and worship. It wasn't a matter of desire then. Even if you wanted to, you weren't allowed to. You had to be kicked out the camp. So I'm going to turn to Leviticus 13:45. Anybody who wants to follow along, there's a standard there that God put forth. In a section talking about regulations about infectious skin disease. It kind of ties at the end of it. It says, "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean! Unclean!' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone, and he must live outside of the camp." That sucks. not only is he sick, and not only is this person suffering from a skin disease that is probably itchy and irritating, but he has to be humiliated by dressing in a lower fashion than what he would like, I'm sure, or she. And he or she has to live alone outside the camp. They're not even allowed to be inside the community. There's not even like they can't just be confined to their own house because it's already contaminated type of thing. They have to be out of the whole camp. So they're alone, outside community, suffering by themselves. Part of it, it just clicked. Sorry, I listened to myself last week. I didn't know we were being recorded, and I went on the internet and listened. I say a lot, so I just said it again, and I caught myself. Sorry, that's why I was laughing. Not that you all care. Anyway. hey, there it is again. All right. I'm going to really annoy myself today. Leviticus 21:16-20 talks about having no defects. The sacrifice you bring has to be clean, has to be unbroken. And you as well have to be clean and unbroken. And there's a big list. I went through Leviticus and I found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things that classify somebody as unclean. And there might be more. I don't know. But Jesus came, and this is the remarkable thing to me that I was just on fire about, is that he came and dealt with every one of these 10 things. Different sound. There we go. Leviticus 13. I'm just going to run through these real quick because there's a lot and I only got 10 minutes, so I'm just going to kind of breeze through them. If you guys want to take notes, I'll try and do it slow enough so you can do it. Otherwise, you can go online later and listen again. Skin disease, Leviticus 13, verses 1 through 46, says that you are unclean if you have a rash or a boil or something that is unnatural. Matthew 8, 2 through 4, Jesus healed a leprous man, a man who had a skin disease. Jesus came and spoke directly in that situation and healed a man that had leprosy. Leviticus 15:9-30 talks about a woman's period, and if the woman's bleeding continues on beyond what it should, she is unclean. Of course, during her period, she's unclean as well. And then in Mark 5:25-29, we see Jesus healed a woman with a bleeding problem who was hemorrhaging, whether that was her period, whether it's tied in there or not. But in both cases, we see a woman bleeding and a woman bleeding. One of them makes her unclean, and Jesus came to the other one and made her clean. The blind, Leviticus 21:18. Probably the best case of Jesus healing the blind is in John 9:1-7, when a man was born blind and Jesus healed him. He created something out of nothing. It wasn't like he restored sight to something that somebody lost. He came and made something where there wasn't there to begin with. The lame, Leviticus 21:18, Matthew 9:2-8. This is the time when some friends brought a man by on a mat, brought him in because he was lame, he couldn't speak. Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven, and pick up your mat and walk, you're healed." Guy picked up his mat and walked and healed because he was healed. Disfigured or deformed. If any part of you is disfigured, or if the whole of you is disfigured or deformed, you can't bring a sacrifice. It's found in Leviticus 21:18. Matthew 12:10-3, there's a man with a shriveled hand. And Jesus came to him and said, "Stretch out your hand." And he did, and the hand was made. In that account, in the Matthew account, it says it was just like his other hand. It wasn't like it was functioning now, it was okay. It was just the same as the other hand. The other hand was fine. And the other hand was made just the same. There was no middle ground there. That healing that Jesus did also speaks of another thing that makes you unclean, which is having a crippled hand or foot, Leviticus 21:19. Leviticus 21:20 talks about if you have festering sores or running sores, and you're just kind of, again, kind of goes to that skin disease, and you got bleeding that's going on. Luke chapter 14:1-4 talks about a man with dropsy. Now, if anybody knows what dropsy is, good for you. I had to go look it up online last night, and apparently it is a disease that makes you kind of not really bleed, but some of your bodily fluids kind of go through tissues where they shouldn't and go through your pores and different things. So I imagined in what I read that the worst case scenario of dropsy would be that you would have running sores and you would be eking out liquids all over your body. So Jesus dealt with that one too. Eye defect, Leviticus 21:20 makes you unclean. Mark 8:22-25, Jesus healed a blind man, but in this account he says that he restored the sight. It wasn't like the one in John where he came by and said, "You don't have sight, you're blind, I'm going to heal you." He came to this other guy and said, "You lost your sight, I'm going to restore it, I'm going to bring your sight back." A little different, in a technicality, there you go. If you're hunchback or if you're dwarfed, Leviticus 21:20, you can't bring an offering to God. Luke 13:10-13, there's a woman who was possessed by a demon. It made her hunch over. She was hunched over and she couldn't walk right. And so Jesus came, spoke healing to that woman, delivered her of the demon, and she was able to stand upright. She was therefore, again, made clean and made able to come bring an offering to God. Touching the dead. Leviticus 11:24 talks about touching the carcasses of animals. But we know elsewhere from one of the verses that it talks about if you touch anything dead, then you're unclean for a period. And then in Luke 7:14, Jesus raises a boy from the dead, and he does it by going up and touching the coffin, which would have made him ceremonially unclean. But, hey, the boy raised from the dead, so he's not dead. So Jesus didn't touch anything dead, technically, I guess. So kind of got around that one. So to me, I was just rejoicing. I was amazed at how I read this list in Leviticus, which is mainly chapter 21, and it lists all these different things that make you unclean. You can't come to God if you suffer from any of this stuff. And Jesus dealt with every one of them in his ministry. And of course, as John says in the end of his gospel, if we wrote down everything that Jesus did, the world couldn't contain the books. So even if there is something that I didn't mention, that I didn't see Jesus do, I have no problem believing that Jesus actually did it and it's just not recorded. That's just me. But Jesus heals, and I think his healing and his healing ministry sums up what his whole ministry was about, which is that restoration. If you were unclean, if you were suffering, if you were sick, you couldn't come to God. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't come according to the law. You weren't allowed. But Jesus came and he said, "No, I'm going to fix that, because God wants you to come to him. He doesn't want you staying off out in the community. He doesn't want you far off. He wants you to come close. And the only way to do that is to be whole and to be healed." And Jesus came and said, "I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to heal you so that you can come to God." And there's multiple accounts where he healed somebody and he said, okay, you're healed. Now go show yourself to the priest and go make an offering. I read that and I imagine what the people must have felt like when they were healed, because that was never an option before. When they were sick with leprosy or sick with some other disease, they couldn't go to the priest and make an offering. That was the first time they could go to the priest and make an offering when Jesus came and healed them. They could go now and they could have a relationship with God because they weren't suffering anymore. Just like everyone who today maybe is homesick right now, they feel like they can't come because they're sick and they're laid up in bed, don't have the energy. But Jesus wants to touch them too. Anybody here who's suffering from anything, Jesus wants to touch you as well because he wants you to be able to come with everything that you are. He doesn't want you to come half-hearted. He doesn't want you to come broken. He doesn't want you to be broken. He'll take you how you are. Don't get me wrong. I don't want it to come across that he won't take you if you're broken. He'll take you as you're broken, but he won't leave you broken. He will restore you to a whole state so that you can come and you can worship with everything that you are. Last week we talked about, or I talked about, community and the purpose of community, to be a support, kind of a support group of a mutual support. We come, we share our issues, we're able to support each other, one another, and we're able to lift each other up, and hopefully, like I said, not create other issues, but be able to resolve the issues that are there in a healthy manner. People who are sick and suffering can't be a part of that. They were outside of the community. Jesus wants to restore us to the community, not just restore us to ourselves, to where we can come and have a relationship to God and say, okay, I'm whole, I'm ready, I'm willing to listen to you, thank you for making me whole, let's do this. One of the first steps is to go back into the community, to be a part of something so you can get that mutual support again. The sick couldn't do this. They couldn't be supported until they were healed. And I think the church today has got it a little bit backwards. A lot of times we say, when you worship God, when you come into his presence, and when you lay yourself prostrate before him, then you'll be healed. Jesus did it the other way around. He said, be healed. Now go before God. And the church today has flipped it. I don't know what happened. I'm not a historian, but it's not right. If you're sick, if you're broken, which we all are, you come to God first, and he will restore you, and he will put you on the right path. There's nothing that God can't restore. I think that's what was made clear to me in my study and in my time of prep for this message, is that there's nothing that Jesus doesn't speak to, and there's nothing that he can't take care of. In his ministry time on earth, he spoke to even more illnesses and stuff that wasn't dealt with in Leviticus, just a fever, Peter's mother-in-law. There was somebody else who had a fever too, I think. But he spoke to it. He went beyond what the law said, because he wanted us to know that he wants us to be whole. His whole ministry on the cross was to make us whole, to make us righteous through him, that we could come to God. I'm going to read Isaiah 57 verses 18 through 19, if I can open this. There we go. Pardon how retarded I look. All right. There we go. All right. Isaiah chapter 57 verses 18 through 19. I'm reading from the NIV. God is speaking through his prophet. He says, I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will guide him and restore comfort to him, creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. I like James as well. A little New Testament action there. James chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. This is under the prayer of faith. It says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I like, personally, probably my favorite healing story would be when Jesus restored the man who was brought in on a mat. Because not only did he heal him of his sickness, but he forgave him too. He puts healing and forgiveness really close to being on the same level, because both restore you to God. And I guess that's the whole point of this message to me, is that God wants to restore us. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing that's going to stand in God's way. You have leprosy, it doesn't matter. He used leprosy as a sign with Moses. Put your hand in, it becomes leprous, bring it out. He used leprosy for his glory. He will take your sickness and flip it so that you can be healed, and you can go around testifying to God, and you can bring your offerings before God, and you can praise him. He will put praise on your lips, is what his word says, as he heals you. That is the point of the message. That is the point of Jesus' whole ministry, is to restore you to right standings, to restore you to health and completeness, and to put praise on your lips so that he gets the glory. And that is an awesome thing. I don't know, the rest of you all kind of nodding at me. I don't know if you're excited about this as me. I feel kind of alone right now, like I'm just pumped, and maybe I'm not conveying this right. But God is awesome. And just to close real quick before Steve comes up, I noticed there's three keys to being healed that I think each of us should just kind of be aware of. Maybe Steve's going to cover this, I don't know. Let's see. First, I think, would be the you have to admit you're sick. Kind of a duh. You have to admit you're sick. I just imagine somebody coming to Jesus not knowing or denying that they were sick. They come to Jesus and Jesus says, "You're healed." And they go, "Yeah, so? I didn't expect anything. I'm already healed." "No, you were sick." "No, I wasn't." There's no glory in that. And there's no life change in that, because they were in such denial. You have to be willing to admit you're sick first. You have to be willing, "I am sick. I'm broken. I'm tired." Once you do that, then it opens the door. That's the first key or step. The second one is humility. I don't know if y'all know the story of Naaman, the soldier with the skin disease. He went to the prophet, I think it was Elisha, and he said, "I want Elijah to heal me." And Elijah sent out a messenger saying, "Tell him to go wash in the river 7 times and he'll be fine." And he flipped out. He's like, "That's not what I wanted. I expected something. Call down God's hand and touch me. And I'm a warrior. I deserve something big." And his servant says, "Don't be stupid." He said, if he would have told you something grand to do, you would have done it. Just because he told you to go wash in the river 7 times, that's not what you expected. Don't be so prideful that you can't do it. Go wash in the river." And Naaman said, "Oh, yeah, all right." So he washed in the river and he was healed. But Naaman had to humble himself to be willing to listen to whatever God says, because oftentimes God doesn't work in our own mindset. We have our mindset and we want to do things a certain way, and then God does it a completely different way and we flip out. No, that's not right. It's not God. God says, "Yes, humble yourself. I'm going to do things. I'm going to mix it up for you, make it exciting." And the last one is to obey and have faith. Many, 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 many times Jesus told people, "Your faith has healed you. It's the faith that you had in me that healed you." It's the obedience that they acted on when they heard his word. When Jesus says, "Go do this," or God said in the Old Testament, "Go do this," they had to obey. Naaman had to humble himself, first of all, to listen. And then after he listened and said, "Okay, that might be it," then he had to actually go do it. He still had to obey and follow through with what God said. It wasn't until he did all these things that he was able to be healed and restored. So in closing, I would just say that there's nothing out of reach, no matter what it is, whether it's cancer, whether it's Parkinson's, whether it's AIDS or anything else, whether it's just a head cold, a migraine. God is able to touch you and gives many examples of how he does. He testifies to the fact that he will heal and he will restore you, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of others, because we need you in this community. Just as much as you need to be restored, we need you to be restored, because you have something to give. You have something to bring to the community and to offer. And if you're laid up in your sick bed, then we miss out because we don't have whatever it is that you have to bring to us. So I just pray, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that I didn't babble on too much. But Lord, I'd ask for your healing today, Lord, as we continue talking about healing, that you would just touch us, Lord, as we sit in proxy for friends or family members that we know that are sick, Lord, that aren't here right now for whatever reason. Lord, we just ask that you would anoint us, that we can go and bring healing to those people, that they may be restored to life, restored to community, restored to relationship with you and with those around them. We just give you glory and we give you praise for the many things you've done in your word and the things you're doing in our lives. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.